Welcome to Growing in Grace. Here's your speaker, Pastor Richard O'Phill.
I believe that the purpose of prayer is to discover and to do the will of God. This concept should not be a problem, because our holy God, the creator of heaven and earth, would never desire for us anything that was not for our long-range good and for his glory. One of the problems that we must overcome when we pray is the natural tendency to want God to do us a favor or to give us special treatment. We're often aware that when we're asking for something, that sometimes we want something that's special. We hope he'll make a little exception in our case. Although God is always ready to hear sincere prayer, he is not always ready to become involved in some of the things that people ask him to do for them. Nevertheless, many hope that he is so glad to hear from them that he'll give them a special break and maybe give them an answer that's more to their liking than to his. We easily forget that the purpose of prayer is not to get him to do what we want, but to bring our lives into line with what he wants for us. This tension between his will and ours doesn't change his mind, but it can easily cause a person to become discouraged and begin to believe that prayer is futile. They can even become frustrated with the whole thing and say, God doesn't hear my prayers, when in fact he hears every prayer. It's just that many prayers are so far out that he seems to be not paying any attention to us. Friend, we need to realize that if God answered our selfish prayers, he would be encouraging our selfishness. If he answered favorably our proud requests, he would be affirming our pride. Do you see what I mean? We can resolve these tensions and actually save ourselves a lot of frustration and disappointment if we discover what the will of God is before we pray. I'm going to use an illustration to explain what I mean. Suppose that a family decides to design a house and have an architect draw up the plans. Although they can decide what they want their house to look like, where every room is to be and what the amenities will include, there's a point at which the customizing must stop. There's a limit to how far a made-to-order house plan can be designed. Although the family can decide how many rooms the house will have and how it will look, all of their plans and ideas will, in the final analysis, be subject to the building codes. Even though it will be their house, they designed it, how it is built, and the context in which it is built will not depend on them, but on the building codes in the jurisdiction where the house is located. In the same way, when we take our plans to God in prayer, we may want him to customize our lives, and indeed he will, but he will do that only within the context of and in conformity to his codes. God says yes to our prayers when they're in harmony with his codes. By this I mean in harmony with his will. It's important to know that he doesn't make up the rules as he goes along. When someone applies for a building permit, it's sometimes possible to receive a variance or an exception to the code. However, when we pray, we should not expect that God will give us a variance or an exception to his code. You probably guessed by now that the Bible is God's code book, and the codes that are found in his word take precedence over all the customized plans that we may have for our own lives. To be successful in prayer, we must begin by accepting the Bible as the revealed will of God. If a person insists on praying that God will do something for them which is not in harmony with the principles of Scripture, they're wasting their time. I think you can understand what I mean. On one occasion during the last century, someone had invited the famous English preacher Charles Spurgeon to a major social event that included a big banquet. As it happened, there in the middle of the table of food was a roast pig prepared, as I've only seen in pictures, with an apple in its mouth. The host of the occasion asked Spurgeon to say the blessing over the food that they were about to eat. Eyeing the big porker on the table, the preacher closed his eyes and prayed, Lord, if you can bless what you've already cursed, please bless this food. Now, that may not have been the politically correct thing for him to do, but it was surely correct theologically. It's often occurred to me that it's quite possible that unless we are careful, we could actually be praying that God will bless something in our lives that He's already cursed. Just as a person who designs a house and wants to avoid disappointment and added expense, just as they will must find out what the code permits and what the zoning laws are that govern the area, so we must realize what God has given in His Word. This will save us a lot of time and trouble. This means, then, that when we go to Him in prayer, we must always pray in harmony with what He's already revealed in His Word. A person who is not into the Word of God will not be praying effectively. Their prayers will tend to be hit and miss or trial and error. I know of people who have studied the Sabbath. They became convicted that it is the true day of rest. But then they say that they are praying that God will reveal to them whether He wants them to keep it or not. Bless their hearts. He has already revealed to them through His Word that the seventh day is the Sabbath and that it ought to be kept. And so this is not a matter of discovering what the Word of God is and what His will is, but rather of praying for grace to obey it. I'm not comfortable when a person says they're waiting for God to tell them something inside their hearts, a kind of inner voice. This can spiritually be very dangerous. There are many people who are under the impression that God doesn't hold them accountable or responsible unless they themselves happen to agree with what's in the Bible. They seem to think an obedient relationship with God is like a contract, and if they haven't signed up, it's not binding. A person who continues to pray and is knowingly disobedient to something obvious in the Word of God is either already in trouble or headed for big trouble in their spiritual life. The Scripture tells us because people would not believe the truth, God would give them over to an illusion that they might believe a lie and be damned. But let's return to the illustration of the family who wants to build a custom house. In addition to the building codes, there's also the matter of zoning regulations and community covenants. The building codes are the rules that govern the construction of the building itself. The zoning regulations and the covenants are the standards that have to do with the well-being of the community as a whole. In the community where I live, the community association doesn't permit us to park a camping trailer in the driveway. When we first moved into our house, we had a pop-up trailer. I parked it in the driveway temporarily, inasmuch as the garage was full of packing boxes, as you can imagine. Well, one day I received a letter from the community association. It advised me I couldn't do that. The letter explained that the covenants of the community forbade it. And that's not all. Where we live, the residents must keep their grass cut, and they can't paint their houses an outlandish color. The community association insists that its residents abide by the standards that have been established in the covenants. One of the fundamental issues we have in our prayer experience is that many times we've not bought into God's standard of righteousness for our lives. By that I mean His standard of right and wrong. When someone has a standard for themselves that's not God's standard for them, when they bring a problem to Him in prayer, they tend only to want a quick fix. Like the old-timer used to say, "I fixed it with chewing gum and baling wire." The tendency is to request an answer to prayer that only goes across the surface of the problem. And some are satisfied to have their lives fixed with parts from the junkyard because they're cheaper than the genuine replacement parts. You know, this may be caused in part because we live in a take-away-the-pain society. Our tendency is to treat the symptoms. It's as though we're saying, "Just give me a Tylenol now, Lord. I'll try to remember to call you in the morning." But friend, we need to understand that when we feel pain and guilt, it means there are fundamental causes that need to be addressed. Of course, we need to take our guilt and pain to the Lord, but only with a view of having the Holy Spirit perform an MRI so we can learn the cause of the problem. The closer we come to holding the standard for ourselves that God has for us, the more our prayers will be according to His will. God will be satisfied only when we are cleansed from all unrighteousness and when we ourselves We must come to the place where we are satisfied with nothing less. The Bible is clear in revealing God's standard for us, and that standard is that we must be conformed to the image of His Son. This means, friend, God will not be satisfied with us until we are like Jesus, and this should be the priority in all our prayers. Now, we should not feel upset or feel intimidated by God's high standard for us. No one is upset to say they will not be satisfied until they're a millionaire or until they are the president of a large company. And so, what's wrong with God's wanting us to be free from sin and filled with the fruit of the Spirit? We must not feel that we will never be able to attain this high ideal, because He's promised that inasmuch as He has begun a good work in us, He will finish it. If this seems a bit overwhelming, think of it this way. I learned to speak Spanish. Now, I don't speak it perfectly or without an accent, but I can communicate effectively. And so, though we don't speak God's language perfectly, we are learning to communicate with Him. And as we read His Word, we learn more and more of His will that will guide us as we pray. Now, someone might ask, should I stop praying until I have it all figured out? I hope not. We are His children. We're learning to speak His language. And along the way, God listens to our every word. He knows our hearts and our needs. But to pray effectively, we must learn to know our hearts and also to know His as well. We must learn our real needs and His will for us in every aspect of our lives. Oh God, teach us Your will through Your Word.
If you would like more information about this program, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 800-752-3226.